young man will have success?
He will. We've got to be sensitive to God's leading. We've got to follow His Spirit so that we can do what He wants us to do. Again, I want to read that one more time. Nothing can prevent you from doing what God would have you do if you will make yourself available to do it. Okay? Today, as you're sitting there in your pew, say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I'm making myself available. You show me and help me to do it. All right. So the jail couldn't stop them. Again, if God is for us, who could be against us? Look down if you would. In verse 25, you guys, your preacher is going to have to start putting his glasses on. He's trying really hard not to, but going to have to. Verse 25, then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, and they're teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Good advice right there, right? The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Again, verse 34. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. And then he addressed them. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. Verse 37. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. Look at this, though. Verse 39, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Isn't that a great verse? Wow. So the Sadducees are enraged. They find out these guys are preaching back in the temple courts again. That's exactly what we told them not to do. And here they've escaped out of prison. They're back preaching. Go and get those men. Well, when they get there, guess what has happened? People's public opinion of the apostles has really, their poll numbers are super high. Why would that be? Well, because my cousin was blind, he can see now. My brother who couldn't walk, he can walk now. My aunt who had that really strange disease, she's doing well now. My friends over here, they've had peace like they have no one's ever known before. They're so happy. They're filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. We love these guys. The people were so in favor of the apostles. And so the Sanhedrin had to be very careful how they took them out of the crowd, right? Again, you can know how politicians work, right? So they navigated, made their way, got these guys back out. And then they did what I kind of imagine is like a congressional hearing, right? So all the Sanhedrin's probably gathered around, and they're going to bring these guys down in front, and they want to talk to them about the problem they're having. Well, you can kind of tell things are really, really tense in the meeting. And they remind them to the apostles. The Sanhedrin says, well, we gave you orders not to teach in this name. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Do you hear what the Jews are saying there? You apostles are blaming the death of Jesus on the Jews. Even today, guys, if you've ever watched whenever the Passion of Christ came out, the Mel Gibson movie came out, there were people who were so offended that the Jews were being blamed for the death of Jesus. Well, guess what? That's nothing new, right? Peter was preaching that 2,000 years ago because why? The Jews did nail Jesus to a tree. They were responsible for it. And the disciples didn't hold back. Did you catch that? If you look back there even again in verse 29, Peter says, we're going to obey God rather than men. You killed him by hanging on a tree. He doesn't mince words. He says, definitely it was you. Now, when the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin hears this, they're so angry. What are they ready to do? Yeah. We're going to end these men. We're going to either put them on a cross, we're going to hang them, we're going to kill them. They're done. We're not dealing with this anymore. But there's a very wise teacher, and you guys may have heard his name before. What's his name? Gamaliel, right? And what we, if we understand it appropriately, Paul actually may have studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He may have been a disciple of Gamaliel as he was learning the truths of the Sanhedrin. Gamaliel stands up and he says, hey, wait a minute, before you guys get too upset here, there's a couple of things I want to remind you of. Remember the guy named Thutis? Remember him? Remember he made a lot of noise all of a sudden? He had 400 followers. Well, he was eventually killed, and after he was killed, what happened? Everybody dispersed, right? Remember the other Judas? He led a revolt, right? But same thing happened. It wasn't very long, and somebody was annoyed with him. They took his life, and what happened there? Right? Nothing. Well, here's this Jesus that everybody's talking about. He was killed, and probably what's going to happen, and I think this is in Gamaliel's mind, probably what's going to happen is what? It won't be long. These disciples are going to be scattered, and they would be scattered, right? Read the book of Acts. They definitely would be scattered. And you won't even hear anything about this Christian, this Jesus Christ person. You'll never even know his name. But he said in verse 39, what did he say? But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Can I encourage you today? If God wants you to witness to somebody, and that's what he puts on your heart, is he going to help you get it accomplished? Amen. Can I encourage our church body here today? If the Lord has brought us together as a body of believers and he still wants Cross Life to be a part of this community and have an impact on this community, do you think he's going to carry it out? You guys, he is. If that's what he wants and we're obedient, people fighting against it will only find themselves fighting against God. Right? What a great truth. Never, never stop. So again, the Sanhedrin, even though they wished they wanted to stop and they couldn't, even the politicians, the nobles, and the religious leaders could not stop the apostles. God's Spirit led them, and he can lead us today. Well, let's look about, finally, the persecution and how they were inspired. And this just challenges me to no end. If you would look down in verse 40, the scripture says, his speech persuaded them. Gamaliel's speech persuaded the Sanhedrin. They called the apostles in, and they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Did you catch all that? Gamaliel gave his wisdom. The guys, it took a little time because they took the apostles out and let these guys kind of fight amongst themselves. Everybody kind of cooled off a little bit. And after that, they're like, well, you know what we'll do? We'll just beat them, tell them not to do it anymore, and just we'll get them out of here. You're probably right, Gamaliel. This is going to come to nothing. They only were flogged. You guys, you know what that is, right? Flogging. Paul says, I was flogged 3 times. I was flogged 39 times. Basically, they had a whip. They would rip it across their back. And they would, if you were to see Paul's back, you would see that he suffered for Christ physically, because on his back would be scars where the whip had ripped his skin over and over again. The apostles here were whipped, very possibly 30-some times with a whip, and then they were told, do not speak his name anymore. How would you feel if you were a disciple then? I want to tell you, in my humanity here, right, in my flesh, what I think I would feel, I don't know if I can ever do this again. What have I got myself into? What is it going to do to my family? What's it going to do to my friends? This is not really the life I had chosen. What did the disciples do? What did the scripture say? They rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Rick said all in earlier today, right? Peter and John, they were all in. That Syrian pastor and that little Sunday school teacher, they are all in. And God may not call you to Syria or Iraq or to Sudan or to Yemen or North Korea, but definitely we need to be all in wherever God calls us, right? Amen? You guys, if God is calling you to the south side of Indy to love your neighborhood or to serve the schools or take care of the policemen or the firemen or to help people at the pantry, or to help with the refugees, or to help tutor young kids, wherever God is calling, I'm begging you today, don't hold back, all right? And even today, I reminded all of us today, you're physically, your health may be not the greatest, but you can pray anywhere. Amen? You can pray for any of those nations. You can pray for your neighborhood. You can pray for our church. Oh, man, would I just love to have prayer warriors praying for me and for our church, that as we have opportunity to share the gospel, that God would just bless it immensely. And that's some of the best work that can be done, and it can be done anywhere at any time, all right? So we want to be all in, just like the disciples were. Again, what I just challenge you with today, that I can never get over, verse 42, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house. What did they never stop? They were beaten. They were said, don't do this anymore. And the scripture says they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They never stopped. In the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Here's what I challenge you today. Have you stopped? Have you stopped? Dr. G. Campbell Morgan said this about believers who are reluctant to commit themselves wholeheartedly to Christ. He says, when our convictions are yielded to him completely, he is able to give himself to us in all his fullness. Until that is so, he cannot trust us. How true it is that we often miss the joy and strength of our Christianity because by withholding ourselves from Christ, we make it impossible for him to give himself to us in all the fullness of his grace and truth. Are you holding anything back from Jesus? He is withholding from you if you do that. Give all of yourself. Again, just one more time, our verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts or from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Do not stop. And as we've looked every week, look to see Jesus, look to see Christ in everyone you meet. Okay? Today, for our final thing here today, I had this other video. I just want you to see it. I didn't really want the kids to see it. It's actually the founder. It's a story about the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs, I believe. I think it's in Romania, but you may correct me on that here in a little bit. But I want you just to see this picture and this story, and let this be courage to you this week not to stop. Not to stop praying, not to stop the scripture studying, and especially not to stop sharing mercy and love. It's called Solitary Prayer. Go ahead, Diane, when you're ready. Oh, Diane, you might need to open with that VLC. That's that other thing. Sorry. Yeah, close that one and then open it in the other player. Go ahead and close that one right there. Go ahead and close that PowerPoint. Just be patient with it, guys. We'll get us going here. Okay, and you can close that one. And then on the desktop, you should see Solitary Prayer. You can right-click on that and say Open with VLC, and that should open that. Open with VLC. Oops, sorry. I drag that over. This whole thing over here. There you go. Now maximize it. There we go. That's fine. Pizza? No?
On February 29th, 1948,